Hi, it's Zoe. And today we're talking about what it takes to be a boundless leader. And when I started really digging into this, I was surprised. So let's explore.
Welcome to the Zoe Routh Leadership Podcast, your source of strategies and insights to make you a better leader. Influence, improve, inspire.
One of the things I remember most about my elementary education in Canada was the great sessions we had around explorers. I was mesmerized by the grand stories of early European, in particular, explorers who traveled far and wide without any of the modern tools or resources or knowledge into unknown places. And Marco Polo is probably the most iconic one. I think he's not the first great explorer. However, he's one of the ones who documented his explorations so vividly in a series of books. And I think that's why he's become one of the most famous earlier explorers. If you're not familiar, let me remind you of his story. He was an Italian merchant, and he was born to some other merchant into a merchant family who traveled the world, basically seeking their fortune by trading with foreign countries. And Marco, who was essentially raised by his aunt while his father and uncles went off journeying around the world, got into the exploration gig too. So in 1271, that's an awful long time ago, 800 odd years ago, he embarked on a long adventurous journey in Asia, traveling some 15,000 miles or 30,000 kilometers. Then they went through China, Japan, and India. He's also famous for running into and spending some time with the Kublai Khan, the fifth great Khan of the Mongol Empire. And if you've been watching the Netflix series on Marco Polo, it's just extraordinary. It's a really vivid depiction of the whole time. And so he got caught actually in Genoa. He was became captive in prison in Genoa, and there he started writing his travel related memoirs. Eventually he got out and he returned to Venice, married a wealthy merchant daughter and had three daughters of his own. So he became a wealthy merchant based in Venice and died there in 1324 in Venice at the age of 70. So the idea of traveling unknown lands, meeting foreign countries and languages and food is something that I've been alive with in my spirit since I was a young girl. And I just find these ideas fascinating and salivating in some way. So I'm fascinated with the stories of adventurers. I'm an adventurer myself, you know. So from a young age, I always wanted to explore beyond the horizon, which led me into playing on canoe trips as in my teenage years, and then to working at summer camp, which kickstarted my outdoor adventurous spirit and a lifetime of work in this area, which I still do, as you know. And coming up soon is my retreat in Tasmania, where it's not so hardcore as Marco Polo would have done it. We're flying into Tassie, we're getting picked up, we're staying in a nice accommodation. It's nowhere near as on the edge, if you like. However, it is similar in that exploring new territory opens us up to new opportunities. So the question I was pondering is, what does it actually take to be an explorer? What does it take to be a boundless leader? What do we need inside to have that urge to explore, to grow, to go beyond what we see as conventional limits, to really push the edges of that? And at the outset, you'd think, you know, courage, tenacity, resilience, and all those things are true. And yet when I sat with the number of stories of different adventurers, both successful and not successful, I mean they died on their adventures, so pretty unsuccessful in some ways, then it's not so linear as you might think in terms of what you need to be a boundless leader, either literally in terms of exploring new lands or metaphorically where you're taking your team, your organization, your projects into unknown territory. The first quality that comes to mind is curiosity. And I think you absolutely need a curious mind and a curious attitude to decide, let's do something different. Let's go somewhere new. Let's try something unique. However, curiosity also needs to be balanced with discernment. And discernment is the opposite, the complementary, the polarity, I guess, to curiosity, because with discernment comes judgment. And with curiosity, it's not just sitting with an open slate, observing and absorbing and accepting what we see. It's the ability to take that, make sense of it, evaluate in terms of what's useful for us and what's not useful for us, what's threatening and what's not threatening. So curiosity without discernment can lead to folly, in my mind. And I've been really thinking and haunted, actually, by the story of Christopher McCandless, which was captured first in the book by Jon Krakauer called Into the Wild, and then made into a movie by and directed by Sean Penn. It's the story of a young 20-something-year-old Christopher who essentially throws away the trappings of civilized life. So he gives up his money, he gives up his name, he adopts a pseudonym, and he embraces the I am of nowhere and of no one and belong to nothing, and hitchhikes across the U.S. to end up in Alaska, which is his main agenda, is to go and explore Alaska. Story does not end well in terms of success. He gets to Alaska. He discovers that the ground where he was wanting to explore is too difficult to pass. So he ends up camping out in this abandoned bus where he stays for 100-odd days until he eats something. Well, the theory is that he ate something in the bush that made him deathly ill, and he dies. He dies alone in the bus. It's just the most haunting story. I think for me it's haunting because that very same summer, 1992, in North America, I was leading a six-week canoe trip with my dear friend Joe and seven young women. And we had a successful, i.e. no one died. We all came back happy and healthy after 6 weeks in the wilderness. And thinking about McCandless dying alone, ill-prepared, in Alaska on this bus at once frustrates me and upsets me at the same time. So as we were finishing our trip, he was slowly dying on his own. And I find that, yeah, hard to swallow, I guess. I have yet to read the book. I've only watched the movie, though my friend has encouraged me to like read the book. You'll get a better sense of it. And I haven't been able to bring myself to do it. But now I've said that publicly, I'm going to have to read the damn book. So discernment would have helped our young Christopher quite considerably. There's a lot of things he did badly on this whole Alaska trip. He didn't take a map, which I just want to knock him around the head for, because hello, you're going into the wilderness, you take a freaking map. And on that map, he would have found an escape across the river that he didn't know about because it was on the map that he didn't take. So discernment, the ability to have judgment and not just show up open-minded and as an open slate, is pretty critical in terms of keeping yourself safe and making sense and making use of the adventure. The second quality, and it's a paradox or a polarity, is humility. I think we need to have humility as boundless leaders, because otherwise, we become arrogant, blindsided leaders. So humility keeps us open and submissive or in service to our objective. And I think that's pretty critical. Otherwise, we're just charging off into the unknown for the sake of glory, which a lot of explorers have done, mind you. And some have not died, and some have been quite successful. And yet, that's about adventure and exploration, not necessarily leadership. So interestingly enough, though, I think humility needs a balance with hubris. Hubris is a sense of esteem and pride and reputation. And I actually think you need both if you're going to be a boundless leader. You need to have enough sense of yourself and the role that you play in positional power and positional authority and as an influencer to know that you, what you do, what you say, how you show up has an impact. So there needs to be enough self-understanding and self-appreciation to have the courage to step forward. And that needs to be balanced with a genuine humility. So it's modified hubris, I suppose. It's not just letting your pride drive the car. It's about being able to put humility in charge of the car and hubris along there as well. So humility and hubris, along with curiosity and discernment, are two of the critical requirements for boundless leadership. One of the next essential pieces is leading with questions. And this goes hand in glove with the idea of needing to be curious. Leading with questions is the hallmark of post-conventional leadership. And it's quite distinct from leading with answers, which is conventional hero model of leadership. Follow me, I've got the answer kind of thing. And whereas we find it extremely reassuring to follow someone who says, I know what to do, follow me. That's sort of why so many people have fallen into line under Trump, is because he portrayed himself as that, as the hero, you know, I'll show you how to make America great again, and we'll do this, this, and this. Even if his strategies are bogus, his confidence and his conviction and his leading with answers was really saleable and attractive to folks. However, if we're going to be boundless leaders, not just ones that are pushing against something like Trump is, if we're going to be boundless leaders where we are exploring the edges of what is possible, we need to lead with questions. And questions such as, what's possible? What could we achieve? Keeping in mind this idea of percolating possibility. And at the same time, and here's the paradox piece, we also need to lead with answers. How can you balance this in your own brain? How can we lead with questions and lead with answers? I think we cannot just lead blindly into the unknown. I think we absolutely need to have some parameters, some answers as to where we pull the pin, what our limits are, what our limitations are. So we have some sense of containerizing around this idea of exploration, that it's not just surging off on a whim and betting the bank against our projects. So questions and answers are pretty critical. The next paradox, I think, is this. It's the capacity to explore and go into the unknown, seriously go into the unknown, not having any sense, or maybe a limited sense, of what is out there for you, whether you're launching a new product or a new service or changing jobs or moving countries. That is all rich, unknown territory, and you don't know how you're going to do in each of those projects. You know that what you have in your toolkit, you know what you have in your backpack in terms of personal resources and skills and so on. However, that venturing into the unknown takes an enormous amount of courage. To balance that, though, I think boundless leaders need to have a strong sense of home. And coming home again after exploring the unknown is this oscillation that we don't always get in the picture of explorers, you know. Tellingly, in the work by Joseph Campbell, where he looked at the hero's journey as a meta story model across many cultures, where, you know, you have the hero who is orphaned and they have to leave their familiar territory and they go past thresholds of the unknown and they battle dragons and they deal with demons and they have mentors who help and magical learnings and into the whale of the belly and out of the whale of the belly, and they become more powerful and more self-knowledgeable, and they have more wisdom through these travails. At the end of the hero's journey, there's always this choice to go home to share the wisdom. And I think as boundless leaders, we need to have that. We need to have the capacity to jump into the unknown and venture out there into the wilderness with courage, as well as the capacity to take what we learn and come home again to share, to teach, to consolidate. And I think for contemporary leaders, that also means to reboot, to recharge, to get in touch again with what matters most. And I think boundless leadership is not a one-way direction. I think it's an oscillation. It's going to the edge of what's possible in your personal world, your professional world, and coming back to center again. So each time you venture out, you have a stronger place to come back to. And by having a stronger place to come back to, you can go further out again. And I love this sort of swing between the two as a pretty important metaphor to explore what boundless leadership is really about. And I think poignant for me is thinking about the story again of Christopher McCandless and how he didn't come home. Interestingly, in the movie, and I believe it's in the book because I haven't read it, I can't tell you for sure, is that one of the scribbles he writes in one of the books is that happiness is only good when savored and shared. So he has an epiphany, or so the movie tries to say, that you can be in the most extraordinary place and have the most extraordinary experiences, and yet if you don't go home to share it with anyone, it kind of loses its edge. So that's kind of a really sad epiphany to have when you're dying alone in the wilderness. Oh God, it makes me want to weep just thinking about it. And so I think this, we're all alone and we're together, is an important aspect of boundless leadership. Being an explorer is not being a rogue venturer on your own. It means coming home again. It means coming home to share your wisdom. And I think the most successful explorers do that. They come back, they share, they teach, they learn and grow, and they go out again into a different wilderness. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the paradox of the boundless leadership mindset and what you need in order to explore possibilities. In the meantime, live well, lead well.